there, and welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hey, listen, the last week we have been dealing with some really hard issues that are found in John chapter 15 and 16. The hatred that the world has for Christians, the sorrow that Christians end up going through in the world, and how Jesus deals with it on our behalf. And that's where we're at today. So especially if you find yourself in the throes of depression or despair, we invite you to join us today and come along as we have some real hope and serious joy for you if you'll but spend some time at the feet of Jesus. Jesus' desire that you have joy, John 16, verses 16 through 24. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's amazing broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Almost inevitably, people will come to me and say, I don't know how people without the Lord or understanding get through this. It is really true. I don't know. I think that's why we have massive problems with abuse and suicide rates go high. And when you have very difficult situations without the Lord, I think people fall apart. And in his common grace and mercy, he may put a stop to it to be merciful. But I can't imagine the depression and everything that follows if you have no understanding of what you're going through. No understanding that there's a God. No belief that there's one on the throne. No understanding or knowledge of it. I don't know how people get through. They have no worldview or a perspective that anyone's in control of anything. And everything's spinning about by chance. They're crushed and without hope because their mind's not renewed. Now, I'm really trying to help you to see the blessings that you have and don't even realize. To them, things can be a product of random chance. No way to understand present darkness. No way to perceive the things that are happening. No way to know or have any sort of perspective outside of it. Now just stop for a minute. Imagine going through what they're about to go through. The disciples are going to have to bear, without understanding, one of the worst things ever to see in the history of the world. See, I don't think we've stopped and thought about this enough. They loved him. They confessed him. They believed this is the Son of God. They haven't understood what Jesus is saying about the cross. It hasn't come into them. It hasn't opened their minds. Their minds are not open to this yet. That the Son of Man has to suffer and die and rise. They don't even know why. Jesus says, when I am lifted up, you're going to go through one of the worst moments in your life of lament and sorrow. You will weep. You will lament, and all around you, the world's going to rejoice. Imagine that. For them, the long-appointed Messiah, God's Messiah, just got beat. God died. It's over. Imagine that right now. If you thought all that's happening and all the stuff in the world, if actually what was happening was God got beat, how could you get up? Why would you want to live? It's over. There's no hope. Satan's won. I don't think we can really get into the pain that they experienced. Think of all the years of belief and then this. You see why I'm making the point here that the extent to which you've grown in the faith and know the truth, the extent to which you're able to handle, is the extent to which you're able to handle the sorrow that comes and look at the sorrow, think through it. That's why people who go through intense sorrow stay strong when they have understanding. They have understanding. Remember, Jesus would say in the course of the ministry that what's going to happen in this life, what you're going to see in this life, beloved, is that in the world, here's what's going to happen. People are going to faint with fear and with foreboding of what's coming on the world. You know that's happening. People in this world are fainting with fear right now over what's happening on the world. They have no understanding. You see how improper it is for the Christian to faint with fear? Sorrow without understanding is one of the worst places to be. That's what leads to the hardships and despairs and falling apart and depression and all those things. Hopelessness. Hopelessness. That invades our world in the sorrow because people have no understanding. The way that our Christianity has real meaning to us in this world has to do with understanding. Think of after the resurrection, where Jesus is going to all correct this now, and the first thing he says to those Emmaus disciples as they're crying and weary on the road, "Oh, slow to understand. Was it not always said that this would happen? Weren't you always taught that this would happen? Oh, slow to understanding." And then it says he opened their understandings. What Jesus is doing here is so wonderful. He loves them. He loves you. He's grieved in his heart about the sorrow they're going to face without understanding. So grieved. So what does he do? Well, it's the application of the psalm we all love in Psalm 30. Weeping comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, this is the application. This is the fulfillment of that. The answer is already hinted at back at 14, where I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to pray to the Father, and the Father's going to send you someone else that he may abide with you forever. He is going to dwell in you, and he is going to do something for you. He is the Spirit of truth. Immediately after that, remember what Christ said, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Immediately after that. So his coming was in connection, and I'm answering the little while dilemma here. His coming was in connection with the coming of the helper. So when Jesus says, "A little while and you will not see me," he was speaking of the cross and the horrid death they're about to see. He's saying, you are going to experience that. Lament and weep and sorrow. But then comes resurrection, and then comes ascension. But notice what he says. "A little while, in a short time, you will see me again." Those are two different words. It's a really, I think, important moment in the gospel. It goes like this. "In a little while, you will no longer see me with your sense perception. But after a little while, you will see me. You will see me spiritually in a way through understanding." Jesus viewed the work of the Holy Spirit as absolutely triumphant and the greatest blessing to you. Now, putting this together, what did Jesus say is the primary work of the Holy Spirit? Well, we learned this last time. So what he said is the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to minister to you. He's going to minister. He's going to do something to you. It's absolutely crucial to our text this morning. And he begins to explain it. That when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you in all what? Truth. In a world that today doesn't know what true is at all, they say there is no truth. He's going to tell you openly what you can't bear right now. That's what he said. And then came the amazing verse 14. He's going to take what's mine. Now remember, Jesus is going to be resurrected in a body. He is going to go and be seated. The benefit of the Spirit coming is he can dwell everywhere in you. He's going to take what is mine and he's going to herald it to you. Everything you can't bear right now, he is going to bear me to you, his work, so that you understand. His whole purpose is going to be to continue to minister to you what I want you to understand, my word, that right now you can't bear to his disciples. That's his ministry to you. He will take what is Christ and declare it. That means that we're going to see Christ in the Spirit's work. This is what he's telling us. So much so, Jesus says, I have, think of this beautiful statement. I have so much I want to tell you. I have so much I want to tell you. I know you can't bear it right now, but you will when he comes. And I'm going to tell you a lot. Once the Spirit comes, then you can bear my word. Because it was only possible to understand what he's saying through the work of the Spirit. Then he can tell us what he wants to tell us. John is now explaining how they're going to see him. You know, when Peter wrote about this later, here's what he said. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time, ready, the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering these things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. What's the Holy Spirit doing? He gives you pastors. He speaks through his pastors, and he bears the heart of Christ to you in his word. Isn't that what he's doing right now? It's reported the same word of John 15. What the Holy Spirit reports from heaven is exactly what John grabs here. The Spirit will take what is Christ, and he's going to declare it to you, good tidings to you. And then Jesus says this, and here's what's going to happen. And your sorrow will be turned to joy. Isn't that beautiful? It's like a woman when she's giving birth. I don't know that pain. I watched it. I was yelled at. When that baby was held, she was so joyful. You forgot all that former sorrow. You forgot it. That's what it's going to be like. Then he can tell us what he wants to tell us. That's what you're going to experience. You're going to have sorrow, but again, your heart will rejoice, and no one's taken that from you. That's for sure. Remember when Christ was raised, he came to the disciples, which was the initial application of this, but not the ultimate application of this. When he came to his disciples, and they handled him and they touched him. Remember what he said. They still did not believe for joy and marveled. The moment of sorrow was gone, and yet they still struggled with understanding. And as joy began to fill them, when Jesus said, "Peace to you," he says, "Oh, here's what I want you to do. I want you to not do a thing. I want you to go wait in that room at Jerusalem." And when the Spirit comes, you're going to have your joy. You're going to have it. I believe this morning is one of the most practical bearings on the Christian life possible. I really do. We in the church think we can get joy with everything else other than the Spirit ministering the word to us. When would this start? When would they have their joy? This is exactly what Jesus was talking about when Pentecost would come. We have many sorrows in the present life. Many of you suffer. Many of you mourn. Some of you have been through terrible things recently. Some of you will go through terrible things in the Escondido URC. These are real sorrows. These are real hardships. These are real pains. And I think we read passages like this thinking what is described is the removal of sorrow and the hardships of life only belongs to the new heavens and the new earth. I think that's how we think. We've just got to get through all this sorrow right now. We just got to bear it right now to get through it. Just grin and bear it. I want you to notice what Jesus is saying. When this day comes, things change. What day? The Spirit's arrival. Through this pain and sorrow that sin has brought, when the resurrection has happened, what my promise to you is, I will take your sorrows and I will turn it to joy. It doesn't mean you won't have sorrows. It means that sorrow is not antithetical to true joy. Any believer knows that in their hardship, that in the deepest wounds, the deepest pains, there's still a confidence. There's still a joy that this is not it. And that's what Christ's resurrection has brought. It's the lasting joy that has now begun. It's entered in for you. Christ is saying the resurrection through the work of the Spirit has inaugurated the day of your joy, coming in fullness when all this is fixed. But it's inaugurated it. It instills within us the purpose for which we are here, to fulfill it. The Christian no longer runs away from sorrow. The Christian no longer runs around his trials, but he sees them as painful as they are. Christ has been raised from the dead. He has conquered sin and death. He has beat all this for me. What do you think he's about to say? Rejoice, I beat the world for you. In the midst of this, the world is already conquered. It's already a defeated foe in everything that's happening. The sorrow that is real and the sorrow that is felt can never take this foundation of what has been accomplished for you and who has been given to you, so that nothing can ever separate you from that love. It's overcome, though, with understanding. Hear me when I say that today. It's overcome with understanding. Jesus says in verse 33, in the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If I were to go through this world as a perfect example right now and look at things the way that they are, I could fall apart. But with an understanding that the world is conquered, I can get up. Jesus encourages them that when this understanding comes, here's what he's saying to you today, to what to do with it. Appropriate it. Grab it. Use it. In other words, we should care a lot about growing in the Word and listening to the Word and hearing that Word. But he says something else here that's important. In that day when the Spirit comes, you will not ask me anything. Notice he says it clearly there at the end of verse 23. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. He has now opened up heaven and he's about to teach us about your direct access to the Father who loves you, he's going to say in the next section. But he's saying something here very precious. You've been asking all these questions and you don't even know what to ask. That's not going to be the case when the Spirit comes, because with joy, I'm going to open up your understandings. And the difference is you're going to pray differently. You're going to pray differently. Jesus says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. When I'm raised and I'm seated, you're going to pray in my name, and you, as your gracious mediator and friend. And you know what's going to happen? The Father is going to aid you. The Father is going to love you. And the Spirit is going to bless you. And I'm not going to leave you in darkness without understanding, so that sorrow will ever fill you this way again. I'm not letting that happen. The Holy Spirit will not let that happen. And that's why he says, ask. Ask and you'll receive. That your joy may be full. To which you stop and say, who here doesn't have joy? Well, then a very practical thing has been said to you. Ask Jesus to open your understanding, because that's how joy comes. Ask Jesus, and he promises by the work of the Spirit to do that for you. It doesn't get any better. Ask him. You can't run around and say, oh, I struggle with joy. Ask him. Come to him. He's told you that. And the Holy Spirit will take your mind and change your attitude toward the ministry of the church, toward the Word of God, toward its power. And he will open your minds to change your hearts to receive the truth as it is in Jesus. And it's going to have a lasting effect on your joy. This is what he's saying to us here. That's the Lord's desire for you here. Do you know that's his will for you? Is that you have joy? That is Jesus' will for you. These things I write to you that your joy may be full and complete. You don't have because you don't ask. That means that Christians can go through a lot because they, without perspective, because they lack understanding. And Jesus is saying, that's not my will for you. I care a lot about you in confusion. I don't want my church in confusion. I don't want my people hurting in confusion. Yes, it will be hard. Yes, there will be sorrows, but I've won. I've won. I've beaten it for you. I've conquered for you. True joy and lasting joy now, and wait to see what I'm about to bring in when I return on the clouds of heaven. Prayer is an immense privilege that we as Christians don't take hold of enough. That's just the reality. It's a discipline. But Jesus has promised that when you come to him with believing hearts in his name, and by the way, that's why we pray in his name. We'll come back to that next time. It's not just amen. Jesus is specifically saying, pray in my name. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will enlighten your minds and you will see joy because that's my will for you. I write all these things to you so that your joy would be full. What a beautiful Savior. What a beautiful work. What a wonderful message that we have today. Our minds are open, beloved. You see. So rejoice. I think that's why Paul said, in every circumstance of life, I can rejoice again and say, rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. We will. Say it again. No, that was pathetic. This is the day the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
And be.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a glorious word. And thank you for encouraging us the way that you do in the midst of this struggle. You are so faithful. We need your help. Open up our minds to the truth. Open up our understandings to see your work through the work of your beloved Son, and in the demonstration and power of the Spirit, may we have true and lasting joy in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do thank you for joining us today. As always, it's a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments about the broadcast, we would love to hear from you. As always, we spend time here on Abounding Grace Radio encouraging you in Christ, challenging you in your walk and relationship with Him, which means questions will abound. You can reach out to us at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805, or address your questions to questions@agradio.org. If you would like to use your voice memo app, record your question for us and then email it again to questions@agradio.org. Now, a great place for resources can be found on our website, agradio.org. If you'll visit that website, you'll also find links to our other platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris, especially as it relates to current cultural conditions that we find ourselves in the middle of. We also have videos available that Pastor Chris does with other pastors, and we also have an archive of past radio programs that have aired on this radio station, all at agradio.org. Finally, we do continue the ministry here on this radio station because friends and partners such as yourself come alongside us financially and prayerfully. We would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us and make a secure donation online at our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. 8805. You would prefer to make out a check to Abounding Grace Radio. And these are all tax-deductible donations, by the way. You can write to us with that check at Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you next week here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.